This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
As the coronavirus brings government readiness and the spread of not just infection, but also virulent fake news into focus, we take our lens to Ukraine, where as of Thursday, the country had 3 confirmed cases. In February, Novi Sanjari, a sleepy town of 8,300 people, about 210 miles east of the capital, Kiev, was torn apart by the virus before any cases were even found. In one night, 24 people were arrested for rioting, and 9 police officers were injured. Christopher Miller, who covers Eastern Europe for BuzzFeed News, described how a toxic mix of misinformation and fear ravaged the town. The story begins in mid-February when the government announced that 45 Ukrainians and 27 foreign nationals were being evacuated from Wuhan, China, and were en route back to Ukraine.
Ukrainians are wondering, you know, are these people sick? Have they been tested? Will they be quarantined? Are they just going to arrive here in the capital, Kiev, and then be allowed to go home? The government wasn't being very forthcoming with this information. And that, of course, allowed for rumors to spread on social media. As the plane got closer, the government didn't say whether it was going to land here in the capital, Kiev, and whether or not any of them had been sick with the virus before boarding this plane. So it was late February 18th. Social media started buzzing with rumors of these people possibly being infected. And it carried over into February 19th, when the plane and the government had finally come out and said, the plane is going to land in the city outside of the capital. And all of these people have been tested. None of them are ill. And we're going to take all of them to this tiny little town called Novi Sanjari, which nobody really here at that time had heard of. And they're going to be quarantined for 14 days.
Did the Ukrainians of Novi Sanjari have any reason to distrust the government?
There has historically been distrust in the authorities dating back decades, right? A very good example of that is the Chernobyl nuclear power plant disaster. Ever since then, there has been distrust in authorities. The local mayor told me, when you're not told everything that you need answers to, you're going to be fearful. And we feared for our lives, this feeling like death was knocking at the door of this tiny little town.
They were asking the government, why here? There are better hospitals, better facilities.
The prime minister himself told them, we didn't want a place that was largely populated and that was buzzing with people. And of course, that only stirred more panic. In the absence of good information, a lot of people were filling this void, creating their own bad information, and not with necessarily a malicious intent. So there was one group that was created by the townspeople of Novi Sanjari to communicate with friends and neighbors. Facebook groups and private messenger chat rooms, they were communicating over Instagram and direct messaging each other. These were people communicating with people who they knew. But the media started picking up on what was being discussed in these groups. But there's not a whole lot of like verification that's done. Media tends to copy-paste news briefs from other sites and to post them to theirs.
I asked you if the citizens of Novi Sanjari had reason to distrust their government. How about their media?
A majority of Ukrainians consume their news via television, and all of these television stations are owned by various powerful business people who use these television stations to smear opponents. And then meanwhile, journalists had managed to find their way into these groups, interviewing locals, citing them as experts, and these ideas and rumors spread further and further until you had other cities also rising up and protesting in the way that this town of Novi Sanjari did.
Describe what it became. What did you see?
What everybody told me was that it was late at night on February 19th, and everybody's phone started buzzing. I sort of think of it as an Amber Alert that we might get in the U.S. when a child is abducted or there's a weather emergency.
Mm-hmm.
People described it like that. Their phones were ringing off the hook. Their messaging apps were beeping. The town mayor heard from one of her constituents first, and they pointed her to this Viber group. And there had been 5,000 or so messages that she hadn't read. And it was absolute chaos and panic. People had already begun organizing groups to come out to the streets. There was nothing at that point that she could do. They had already made up their mind that these people who were being brought to their town were sick, and that the only thing they could do was to protest and to keep them from coming here. You know, some of the messages were things like, if we go to bed tonight, we're not going to wake up tomorrow morning.
Mm-hmm.
They set up lookouts on the corners entering the city. They blocked the entrance of the medical facility where these people were meant to be brought. And when police showed up in large numbers, and not only police, but also the National Guardsmen wearing masks and carrying arms and marching in unison down the street with armored vehicles at their sides, they thought for sure that these people are sick. They're bringing sick people to town.
Did people die in this confrontation?
Nobody died, but 9 police officers were wounded, and at least 5 of them somewhat severely. There were 24 locals arrested. When I arrived at the town, I was shown by a lot of people who participated in the protests videos and photographs. The videos showed police shouting down protesters, protesters shouting at the police, shouting at the people who were being brought in by bus to get out, to go back to China. Some women threw stones and shattered the windows of the buses carrying the evacuees. There was tear gas used by the police and pepper spray, and there were people in the crowd that were using a pepper spray themselves on the police. It was total chaos, and the town described it as a war zone. The president of Ukraine, Volodymyr Zelensky, described the scene as something from medieval Europe. That, as you can imagine, wasn't taken very well by many of the townspeople there, who, even when I visited a couple weeks later to see President Zelensky greet the evacuees after their 14 days of quarantine, people were still very, very angry about that and really wanted some sort of apology from the president, which never came, by
mm-hmm.
the way.
I understand how frightened townspeople will rush to fill a void in information with their worst nightmares, but they didn't do this entirely by themselves. There seems to have been some deliberately seeded rumors about it. You suggest in subsequent reporting that it came from a foreign source.
Sort of right in the middle of all of this, with protests already underway, there's this mysterious email that goes out to hundreds, if not thousands, of contacts from the Ministry of Health here. This email included information that said 5 people had been infected with the coronavirus and they were among the group of evacuees being brought back from China. And the email looks authentic. It has an email address that is assigned to the Ministry of Health. It has the logo of the Ministry of Health. The language is Ukrainian, and it sounds very professionally written. It was picked up and written about in the media, except that it was a fake email and found by the security services to have been sent by someone else or a group of people using what the security services here described as a foreign email service.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, a group of Russian hackers who have targeted Ukraine on several occasions
yeah.
in the past, or possibly political opponents of the current government trying to make things more difficult for them. And whoever sent this email out tried to make it look authentic in an attempt to stoke fear and panic and call on people to go out to the streets to protect themselves and protect their loved ones.
Tell me who the government used as proxies to help tell people about the coronavirus, the risks and the behavior it required to contain it.
Well, after the riots, the government did send the prime minister and its interior minister and its health minister out. And all three of these officials did meet and speak with townspeople and certainly did their best to explain that these evacuees who had arrived were not sick and they had been tested and they would be in quarantine just as a preventative measure. The health minister did actually quarantine herself to show to the townspeople and Ukrainians even beyond Novi Sanjari that there was nothing to fear of the evacuees' quarantine there. She stayed with them and was released only when they were. But they also tapped celebrities to help them. And one in particular is someone I would describe as Ukraine's Dr. Phil, right down to the mustache. He has a large social media following, nearly 2 million subscribers on YouTube. And so he, in a video, announces that he's driving to Novi Sanjari a couple days after these riots to help calm the mood. And he meets with the townspeople. He strolls through town. He does some meetings in, I believe, one of the town's cultural centers. And his message is, look, you've been given some bad information. You've shared some bad information. Here is what you need to know. And after that, it does seem as though things in the town calm down a bit.
So aside from apologizing, what do you think the president and the health ministry should have done?
You know, the person who told me, I think, most concisely was Novi Sanjari's mayor. And she said simply, tell the truth. You know, the lessons for the government here really are keep your messaging clear, be transparent. Engage with the media instead of flouting it. This presidential administration and government prefers to put out its own propaganda on social media. And there are lessons for the media as well. Better fact-checking, tracking down the original source. A lot of what we saw here was the media picking up messages in these social media groups that were coming from locals, not from doctors, not from medical health experts, not from the government, and turning them into news stories. And then also, of course, interviewing experts, not politicians. The talking heads on television were not medical health experts. They were politicians who have an axe to grind with the current government or were members of the current government. They weren't people who were telling the citizenry here how to keep themselves safe, which everybody in the town told me would have gone a long way in calming their nerves. And of course, you know, I'm observing from afar, but looking at my home country, all of the things that led to violence on the streets of this tiny little town in Ukraine exist also in the United States. The tools used to mobilize people, it was Facebook, it was Instagram, it was Viber, it was word of mouth. A lot of what we've seen in Ukraine in the U.S. are politicians doing the talking. And what the public needs to know right now is fact-based information that can keep everybody healthy and safe.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Christopher Miller covers Eastern Europe for BuzzFeed News.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.